What's up, everybody? Today we're talking about more cops being called on black people and a lot more on Black Hollywood Lives this week.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live this week.
Ride with the mob, come through our lot. Check in with me and do your job. Ray is the name, Ben Bola did the chain. Turn off for the watch, present playing Jack. Wrong truth. Dealing with, I've been waiting all night, hoping I'm the one you pick. I was sitting in my chair, looking at you like some lunch. Ride that beat like Kawasaki, let me show you how to. I could tell that you gon' stumble, you gon' fumble, you gon' gag. All the judges gon' be puzzled, I'ma look at them and laugh. Next time you better think twice, I'm a savage. I be breaking rappers like DJ Khaled. You was thinking this was sweet, cause I'm cute and I'm petite. When I see you backstage, I knew you was fresh meat. Now you could think about this on your way back home. Like how Ray, you gon' play me like a ring back tone. And why did Ray you put me on blast like that? And how come Ray you bringing up the past like that? Man, I'm busy, don't you know? Fella B-A-N-J-I, you can't wait to take my seat. I can't wait to see you try. I just call it like I see it. Right now it's looking bad, cause you about to lead a building with my foot up and up.
We're going to intro the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Lives this week. I'm your host, Dariel Christian. Joining me today are two beautiful women, Courtney Stewart.
Hey, y'all. What's up?
And our very special guest, you just saw her performing on The 4 on Fox, Sharia J is in the house.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you day after 4th of July.
I know.
We're all here today.
We're here. We made it. We're going to church.
Right.
Well, we got some great topics today that we're going to be talking about, and we're going to talk about you and the competition and all the fun stuff around that today as well.
Dope.
Courtney, let's dive on in.
All right, well, we're going to dive on in. Since the day after 4th of July, we're going to give y'all a little bit of history information, and we learned something new this week, and some people that's trying to rectify how our history is communicated and actually doing a pretty darn good job at it. So there's a historic monument in Baltimore called the Star-Spangled Flag House. It's in Baltimore, and it's basically a museum to the woman who was, you know, is credited for coming up with the Star-Spangled Banner, i.e. our American flag. And the people that run the house found out through their research and everything that actually there's another young lady who should be credited with helping to sew and create that first flag, and her name was Grace Wisher. She was a 13-year-old indentured servant who at the time was in servitude to the woman Mary Pickersgill, who is credited with making the flag. And since they uncovered that information, they have tried to infuse some of her into the tours and sort of the displays in the house, but they don't really know, obviously, what she looked like or who she really was. So they've done some small things, like they have a girl, like an outline of a young girl represented in like a plexiglass monument that's actually in the house, and her name and her information is brought up when people are doing the walkthrough tours, because one of the curators at the museum, her name's Michelle Joan Wilkerson, and she made the following quote about infusing this woman's information and history into the history that was already being told. She said, quote, "That's why I think it's important that there's not a single narrative. There are things that we think we know, but there's more we need to know. And certainly Grace Wisher's life and her contribution should not go unknown. It should be acknowledged and presented in our historical displays about this era." So they were kind of, Teen Vogue actually did a story on it. So that information is over in Teen Vogue. You guys can go check out that article. And they really kind of went in on looking at the research and how this woman had been, or young girl, had been erased from history, basically, and this woman, Mary Pickersgill, is the only one that's been sort of credited all this time, but when they found out that there was something else to it, they added to it, and they have her in the house, and they're trying to do better with how we are handling our museums and our information.
I mean, it's great information. I'm glad that it's acknowledged. The only sad part about it is that after all these years of celebrating July 4th, you know, and the American flag and all this, these things, that this person's been erased. You know, we've never heard of her before. You know, but we now have her.
But what a time for that information to come back as we sort of, people of color, even at this point, I mean, not at this point, throughout history, have struggled on 4th of July and sort of the relation to 4th of
July
and what all that means and seeing ourselves in the history and accepting where we were and everything. So it's kind of awesome to continue to uncover that information and feel a part of it.
Now we can drink our margaritas and be happy about it. Happier. we get history lessons while we're drinking our margaritas.
History lessons, yes. And we love it. Especially on the historic sites where you would go, because I don't know if y'all, did you guys get to go to those like in high school or in elementary school and stuff, like different historical sites?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's interesting like how, because I I did primary school in the South and then moved to upstate New York. So I kind of got some interesting different experiences in historical sites. Right. But it's always interesting. Like, I remember going to Monticello for Thomas Jefferson, and you're like, wait, but ain't no slave quarters here. Like, right. They just have this big, beautiful house on the hill, and you forget, it's easy to, like, be thinking you're, like, really learning some history and, like, experiencing history, and then you realize how leaving that out definitely colors it way different in people's feelings about it, because then when you actually go somewhere that has slave quarters, your vibe is wholly different right. than yes. when you're on the plantation without it.
That's true.
So I think it's super important, and it's kind of cool that they're doing it finally.
Finally.
I'm happy about that.
For sure.
And the ton of things that we have that still are not uncovered about history.
Right, you know, right.
Bring it out. Bring it out.
Yeah. We need it right now, especially what we're about to talk about next. We definitely need
that information.
All our
history. Is there. Yeah. All right. Speaking of education, we're going to segue into our next story, and it's another Trump date.
Wow.
We did one last week. It was the first one in a while, and now we're doing another one because something very important happened this week. Actually, a few very important things. It's a whole lot of hot mess going on up in that White House right now, but I just picked this one thing, okay?
Right, right.
Yeah, it was just
right.
there was a lot.
We didn't have enough time during the show to go through
enough.
The hot mess.
Like, there was too much. But this one thing specifically, because this is Black Hollywood Live, we're talking about education. We talked about the Supreme Court last week, and the Supreme Court is going to be very essential in what this story is about. So basically, if you don't know, this week on Tuesday, the Trump White House and their Education and Justice Departments announced, they sent out a joint letter basically saying they are completely rolling back the policies regarding affirmative action that Obama had signed into effect. So whereas currently the Supreme Court has, based on that, I think it was the school in Texas, it's been 2 years now, I believe, that they made that ruling, that they upheld a school's right to use race in their decision-making for school admissions. So it was upheld, but Antonin Scalia, like, wrote his dissent basically saying, like, the problem, though, is that there's still some unfortunate discrimination towards Asian Americans because of the way the system is set up and because of the way Asian Americans kind of fall on that spectrum. And he was like, that's going to be a problem in the future. And now it's a problem because there is actually a court case that may be going to the Supreme Court very soon with Asian American students and how the current affirmative action policies actually end up discriminating against them because they don't necessarily fall into the category of the Black and Hispanic kids and the natives in regards to, like, testing and things like that, because they are super achievers in those areas but still considered a minority. So they're missing out on spots, technically. They're, unfortunately, they're sort of like the, collateral damage in the affirmative action debate. So anyway, that being said, they rolled back the additional policies that Obama had put out to sort of encourage, especially on a primary and secondary school level, to get people to sort of, like, get, because obviously the problem starts before college.
Yeah.
So trying to, you know, give equal opportunity to Black and brown students coming up through the ranks and, like, pushing that idea. The White House said, nah, y'all, we not really feeling this. So we gonna roll that back. And now we know that Trump will probably be announcing his Supreme Court appointee on Monday.
Yep.
And if he goes super conservative, obviously we lost the swing vote in Kennedy, who just resigned.
Yep.
So when this case that is sort of in the mix goes to the Supreme Court in the next year or two, it's very possible that the entire idea of affirmative action will be rolled back. So
scary.
Some people are saying, like, well, it's not really been effective anyway, and now it's discriminating against Asian kids, so why do we want it at all?
I mean, a little bit is more than none.
That's what I'm saying.
Because at least it was a, you know, a slight chance that we could possibly be getting some kind of equality, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but to know that that whole concept and idea is just out of there, I mean, I'm scared to see what...
Me too.
What will be next?
I mean, it's going to affect in so many different areas. I mean, it's basically, I mean, yes, obviously the Asian community, it affects them, but the Black community, I mean, we have a lot of kids who get to go to school because of this, and we look at poverty, and we look at different classes of kids that will now, if this is gone, will now suffer from that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really scary, and I mean, when I first read it, it really pissed me off, actually, because I'm like, you know, you've already done so many different things that obviously are affecting just people of color overall.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's like, when is it going to stop?
Right.
You know, it just keeps going. It's like you said, which one are you going to pick today to talk about? You know?
Yeah. What problem are we going to talk about today? And it's kind of, it's also scary because people don't have a full understanding of what, in terms of admissions,
right,
affirmative action actually means.
Yeah. A lot of people are not
It's
educated.
Not like, hey, you're black. We have 12 black spots. We're taking those. Those have to be filled by 12 black people. Like most schools have sort of like a point system, like, oh, you're a legacy, your family went here and donates money, point.
Yeah.
You know, you are above a 1200 on the SAT. Well, the SAT is like 2400 now. It was like 1600 when I did.
So,
I think it's so, like, to be good, I guess now you got to be over 2000 or something. Like, whatever. So that's another point.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you are from a black or Hispanic background, that's another point. So it's just like, it's a way for, you know, people that don't have the legacy of higher education in their families because of the society norms and things that were acceptable for all these years to have at least a point. It doesn't mean like they're not as prepared to do whatever.
Exactly.
Like, and it's obviously been proven that kids that are of black and brown descent and are in standardized testing don't always test as well as white and Asian kids.
Yeah.
And those have cultural reasons that things happen. But that does not indicate that they will not be successful in these Ivy League institutions.
Right.
So it's just weird to me that people are still in that, like, see, he took that spot from a white person who had better grades,
right,
better this.
Right.
That's not how it works. Like, that's not what it is.
Right.
Like, and the full breadth of affirmative action actually benefited white women the most. So
mad years.
Go look at the history, guys.
Yeah, people are not educated.
Get
that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
But then they want us to not be educated because they ain't trying to send up.
Right.
I know, we can't even get a percentage.
We can't get into the school
now. Ain't nobody going to have no money to go to school in about 5 years, like, because it's going to be, like, I don't know how the people paying for school now.
Right.
Like,
right. He's trying to put us in the dark times.
Struggle
nation.
We going backwards fast. But anyway, so there you go. You might want to call your senator.
I was going to say,
this is where people need to know. Midterms coming up, y'all. Don't play. Like, don't play. Like, we're not, this ain't a joke. And if nobody showed you it was a joke, that Ocasio-Cortez woman in New York, I'm sorry, I cannot remember your first name, who won the primary against that Democrat been there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's proof, y'all. That's proof that we can actually do something.
Yeah.
And that if we actually come out like we need to, we can change things.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Especially in numbers.
Mm-hmm. So go volunteer,
educate, call somebody,
I'm probably gonna
send
be
some letters.
This fall, you know, trying to get people to vote. So.
Right. We'd be with you.
The BHL,
on the streets.
Like, on the street, y'all. Come on, they taking
actually,
everything.
That's a great idea. We should do like a rock the vote
to.
Kind of thing.
Like, don't play.
That would be real talk.
Rock the vote / get your behind here now.
Bro, like, instantly.
We tied, okay?
Yes.
Protest.
There you go.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. We're going to move on to our EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
Well, all jokes aside, I'm talking about us going around neighborhoods and campaigning to, you know, get people to, you know, to vote and do all kind of stuff. I don't know if it's safe because another black person that got the police called on him, State Rep Janelle Bynum, who is running for re-election this fall in Oregon, was walking around her residence neighborhood, was talking to people. She had her little clip note board and her cell phone and a little pen and was, you know, just kind of walking around the neighborhood trying to campaign herself. And one of the neighbors did not like that, so they called the police on her. They thought that she was casing the area and was looking to possibly rob one of the houses.
No.
Yes. So Mr. Sheriff showed up to Miss Janelle Bynum and was like, hey, you know, what's going on, sister girl? Are you up in the neighborhoods? And the police, you know, I'm the police. What you doing here? She's like, I'm just campaigning. This is my reenactment, by the way. And now she has gone on record and said the cop was very nice to her and where, you know, was a nice guy, and that he even took a selfie with her and she posted the selfie.
Mm-hmm.
So the cop actually went back to the woman who called the 911 call and said, you know, listen, we've taken care of the situation, but this is who she is. This is what she's doing. Apparently the woman said that, you know, she had no idea, you know, what this was for. She just was calling the police for the safety of her neighborhood. Bynum later said that, you know, she understood that the concerns of the person who called, but she said she had just rather the woman had at least approached her and tried to figure out who she was, which I have an opinion about that, but I'll tell you that in a second. And then Bynum also later said, it boils down to people not knowing their neighbors and people having a sense of fear in their neighborhood. And I mean, that's true, but it's also, I think she was very politically correct about that, because maybe she, you know, since she is campaigning. My thing is about with her statement saying the woman should have approached her. The only thing with that is that people are crazy. And I don't know, you know, if you don't know somebody, their case in your neighborhood, you just don't know what might trigger them. I mean, if it's probably, I'm assuming she's a 43-year-old woman, you know, just walking around the neighborhood, you kind of can gauge to see, like, what she really is like. But, you know, that's a little bit of a fine line because you just never know what sets people off. I don't know if I wouldn't call the police. I may have rolled up on her. No, I probably would have rolled up on her. Maybe, I guess, you know, just like at least give it a stare. Like,
I think I would.
So who are you?
Yeah, that's what I think I would do.
Why are you behind?
At least ask a question. You know, first, what I mean? And then if I get a vibe, then maybe I get up out of there. But at least to see, you know what I mean, to pose the question just before I assume that it's just something crazy.
I'm like, why you could use a little deductive reasoning in this instance. It's a middle-aged woman. Yeah. Like, that's not a typical, like, you know, robbery person.
Right.
And was she, like, just knocking on front doors? Like, if you're knocking on front doors, you're not really
trying to hide.
And they were like, she wasn't, like, in people's windows. Like, why would the, like, initial assumption.
And if you're talking to people,
You're talking to people. Yeah. So the initial assumption, I'd be like, why? That's why. But see, that's why we need to sit out on the front porch more often and just watch stuff go by.
I'm telling you. Right.
Like the old, like back in the day.
Yes,
like back in the day. Because like grandma always knew. Like grandma. It might be some new people in the neighborhood, but she was on the porch long enough to watch and see what they.
Knew.
And she should have said Big Mama because it was Big Mama in Atlanta.
Nana, that's my Nana.
Yeah, she's on the porch. She watching who come and go, and you know, like which kids. Okay, they playing too much, or they going somebody's. Yeah, whatever, and I think that is at a loss. So I don't know. Like, it's annoying that the police were called still because I just think it's such a waste of resources. And she hadn't been disturbing the peace or like doing anything. But at the same time, we live in a time where people are like, anytime you see anything that looks off.
Yeah.
So is the looking off that it was a black woman in your neighborhood?
Right.
Yes, probably.
And if that is the case, then you need to really think about that further.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree.
If that's your trigger, like, oh, this is off because there's a black woman in my neighborhood.
Right. Hmm. Yeah, you gotta look yourself in the mirror.
Yeah. Let me think about that for a minute because that can't be the only reason. Like, if she was, like, running around, making noise, had a gun or, you know, doing something like that, then, or whatever.
Right.
Because you couldn't be campaigning. Just could not be.
Yeah, that's not possible. No. Right. Don't be black and campaigning.
I mean, she had a clipboard. Like, it could have been Greenpeace. You know how Greenpeace be right? But they be at the stores now. They don't come to
the
houses no more. I did that in college.
They do go to like the grocery store.
They're mostly
now.
A grocery store. They are not going house to house anymore.
Yeah.
Is that because?
But Juanita said, I need to see the people for myself.
Yeah. But that's good. Right. Like, that's what they need to be
that's
doing.
What I can respect that about.
She just didn't know.
Well, Susie. Hopefully she'll get reelected after all that.
Yeah.
I mean, the police got called on you. I hope that they take that into account.
They called. Maybe she ain't used to no blackness, and she was like, no, we don't want that here.
Right.
That part, though.
That part. Oh, well, we voting for you, sister. We with you.
Got my vote, Juanita.
We'll come campaign with you.
And thank you, police officer, for not being a psychopath.
Yes, thank you for not
appreciate
being
that.
A jerk.
And take cool
and
selfie.
Taking a selfie.
Taking
to a let
selfie.
Her, yeah,
taking
that was cool.
Selfie.
Shout out to you. All right, another shout out is going to be to Nicki Minaj, who just awarded 37 college students with scholarships called the Student of the Game.
Mm.
So basically what she did was she started kind of, she's paying off their college tuition or their student loans based off on where they're at in their schooling. Her charitable efforts began back in May 2017. She informed the first round of winners last month that she would be paying for them, and then she informed her Twitter followers that winners are eligible to win the scholarship multiple times, but not in a consecutive year. So, shout out to Nicki Minaj for helping out the kids.
Kudos to her.
You know, we always talk about the other things about Nicki Minaj, but we don't talk about this part. So this is, you know, it's cool.
That's funny. I just wish she was like on Twitter, and I wish Twitter existed when I was in college.
I could have had no school loans when I graduated.
50 grand, girl.
Yes.
It'll get me through.
Right.
It will get me.
Right. I'll buy all your records.
Right.
I'll shout you out every day when I'm reading my books.
And I'll be back for my second time when it's not consecutive.
Exactly.
And be like, freshman year, all
right. Right.
Junior year, I'm back, girl.
I'm back.
I'm like, study abroad.
Right, right. Or save that money from the time that they, you know, to get a job, save that money. And then when it's time for you got some money in between.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That part.
Yeah, shout out to her.
Shout out to Nicki for that.
That was cool.
That's awesome. In a time we need education.
Yeah.
That's right. Something positive. Mm-hmm. Maybe she can sit down with Trump. He seems to be taking on reality, you know, women meetings.
He is taking the meetings.
Would y'all be like, doing that? Because you know, because everybody got mad at Kanye, everybody got mad at Steve Harvey.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Are we in a place where.
No, they would get mad at Nicki too.
They're mad at Nicki too.
They would get mad
they
at Nicki.
They would get mad.
They would.
Yeah.
They would get mad.
Would y'all be mad at Nicki?
I mean, it just matters on what she was going in there to talk about.
That's what,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, do I want Nikki to represent me? I mean, but maybe I'm giving Nikki a bad rap by saying that, because maybe she, you know, is super educated in politics and legislation and all that kind of stuff.
Yes. But,
you know, I hope so. You know, but I mean, would I be mad? I mean, I probably would have some comment, but I'd have to see what she was going in there to talk about.
I have to see what the jig is. Like, why are you up in there? Right. I would have to know for sure.
I feel like I'm kind of in a place where I wouldn't trust nothing going on in that White House. So if anybody was up in there, I got
what
no
you doing
trust
in there?
You.
Right. What y'all talking about?
And I know that kind of is anti getting anything done, I guess, because technically that's the power that be at the point. Mm-hmm. But at what point is it just we got to shut it down?
We got to shut it down.
I know.
Yeah.
That's where we at.
That's where we at.
Are we there? Like, completely shut it down. Like, we just got to put your head down for the next, what, year and a half?
Right.
And pray.
And pray.
That's why we pray.
Thank God for prayer.
Thank God for prayer. All right. Well, that concludes our topics of today. Thank God we have music, because music gets us through things. And you know a lot about music.
Yes.
You are competing on The Four. Mm-hmm. Man, that is this is where I want to start. There's so many competition shows right now. What was it about The Four that you wanted to go after?
To be honest, it's so funny because, The Four is like the last show, or one of these competition shows is kind of the last thing I thought that I would be participating in, because I haven't really like been obsessed with any of them in particular. And but it was something about The Four, like it kind of brings this authenticity to true artists. You know what I mean? Like, they're looking for artists who are different, who out the box, who represent a genre, you know, specifically. Yeah. And because I'm hip hop, I just love that battle aspect of it. You know what I mean? Like, it interests me because I grew up in hip hop, and that's always been the essence of hip hop. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, get on stage and battle for your spot. I like that. You know what I mean? So I think it wasn't something that I thought I would be doing, but now that I'm a part of it, I'm like, dang, this is a dope opportunity. Yeah.
I mean, you could tell by Diddy's expression. He was feeling like, it. His shoulders were
in there.
He almost wanted to get his little take that move.
That's a fact.
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious. I'm going to be cliche though. So tell us, when did you first fall in love with hip hop?
I know, right? Since I was a little kid, I grew up in a hip hop home, because my father was in a 90s hip hop group called Double X Posse, and they had this record that went platinum back in the day. So I'm not going to be able to do it. Can you do it?
Oh, yeah.
So my house was that. Like, I would come in the house, it always was a cypher going on in my living room. My mom's wasn't around the way girl. She had bamboo earrings, dressed like that. Yeah. It always was a cypher. I could walk in, it was different artists sitting in my living room. You know, my father used to give the house party. Parties, bring the DJ in, move all the furniture to the side. And so it was my life.
Yeah.
I always said music chose me, because I didn't have a choice, really. When I came out, I was already listening to raps or hitting the studio with my pops or being on, watching him on tour. So it was just something that just was innate, you know what I mean? And I fell more in love with it the older I got, the more into the culture I got. It just was a part of my life.
And who's like one of the top people that influenced you? Who do you listen to the most, or who's like that MC that you're like, every time you hear it, you like, I gotta jam.
The GOAT, B.I.G., Biggie, all day.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, that he just is the man. I mean, on so many levels, you know, dope storyteller, crazy lyricist, flows out of this world. Mm-hmm. Metaphors, punchlines, all of it. He got all of it. And he was also writing for like a lot of different artists too. So, you know, that takes a different level of creativity to be able to produce your own stuff and then say, oh, I know exactly what to write for you too, for another person.
Yep.
But yeah, Biggie, hands down, that's my favorite lyricist.
I always wonder like what he would be doing today if he was still alive. Like, what level would he be on? It would just be crazy.
Think of, you know, all what I mean? The great,
and I think he would be continuously be reinventing himself.
I do too.
Hands down.
So how did you sort of mixing that, because hip hop, like many industries, is very male dominated.
You know it.
And sort of, you're obviously a quite beautiful woman.
How did you
sort of great
find...
teeth, by the way. I keep looking at your teeth.
Her smile is
I'm
amazing,
all about teeth.
Y'all.
I'm like, man, her teeth are the game.
Fantastic.
Like, it's killing
Thank you.
It.
Yes. But how did you sort of find and mold sort of how you feel? Because obviously, like, there's Nicki Minaj, like we were talking about before, that's sort of gone in her direction. Yep. And, you know, Kim was her direction.
Yes.
And Foxy was her direction.
Yep.
Queen Latifah was her direction. Like, how did you sort of mold and figure out your femininity as well as your place in the
game? Yeah. You know what? I'm not gonna front with you. It is tough for females in hip hop just because, you know, it is a male-dominated genre. But I did look up to people like strong women figures. I did look up to Queen Latifah and people like Lauryn Hill. Mm-hmm. They both from Jersey, too. Yeah. I'm a Jersey girl, so mm-hmm. I was big on watching them. And then Missy, too, yeah. Definitely breaking barriers. And I lucked up and got an opportunity for her.
I was going to say you work with her.
Yeah, she was my mentor for a long time. And so she also was very instrumental in placing that strong feminine role, like really respecting yourself, holding your ground, because she had to come mm-hmm. up with a bunch of guys and be in that position where she had to hold her ground. And, you know, even with being in the studio, she always was really hard on me about, if you're going with a bunch of guys, like, don't be going in to work. That's what your whole thing is. Yeah. You know what I mean? Don't get sidetracked. You in there to do that, and then your respect will come because you respect yourself. And so I kind of just kept that, you know, that mm-hmm. mindset there. And then I've had a lot of strong, empowering women just in my life. My grandmother, my mom, they always put, like, those jewels in me to just really, you know, be a lady. And mm-hmm. So I kind of take that part and then take the strength and kind of push it all together and then try to maneuver my way in this game, you know? Mm-hmm. It's tough, but I try.
Well, you're killing it.
Thank you.
Obviously, you know.
Doing very well.
One of the fan favorites.
Thank you.
How has the show changed your life since you've been on it?
In a lot of ways. Definitely, your social medias do go up. Like, because the more people get exposed to you on that platform, the platform is awesome because it's just so many different mm-hmm. types of people get a chance to see what your art is, you know? And so my social media definitely is cracking. My fans that was there before the hand, they like, girl, we always knew. You know? So they showed me that love. And then I got new fans who, you know, showed me love. And then, of course, you always get your haters. They're going to be in there saying this, that, and third. Right. But, you know, that's part
but
of the
game. But they still watching you, though.
They watching.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, that's
watching.
A fact. And I also love it because it keeps you on your toes. Like, every week, you got to make sure you bring in that fire because just as well as you got that seat could be gone.
True.
Yep. You know what I mean? So you got to creatively stay on top of your game. And, you know, I'm the only person who writes original lyrics every week. You know what I mean? Because it's a cover show, so everybody sings covers.
Right.
And so for me, creatively, that's pushing me to
get... That is. That's dope.
Yeah, to try to stay on top. And, you know, and Diddy, like, not playing, Cali not playing. They judging my bars.
Right.
They judging my, you know, every piece of it.
Yeah.
So I think, too, it's just pushing me to just be a greater artist.
Yeah.
And then I'm getting those jewels, too, mm-hmm. from them every time we hit the stage. That'll just make me be better anyway, overall.
Who's a tougher judge out of the three?
Diddy.
I thought it might be Diddy.
Yeah. I think that's what a lot of us, most of the four, like, we always say we have a consensus that Diddy is the guy because he's up there to keep it real with you, and he's not going to hold, no cap. Like, he's going to just keep it 1,000. If he liked it, he's going to say lit. If he don't, he's going to be like, no.
Right.
And this is what you need to do to fix it. And the beautiful thing about that is that's how the music business is.
It is.
Yeah.
So it kind of just prepares you to be able to function in that world, you know?
For sure.
Although now we can't use the word lit no more because of Donald Trump. I catch myself saying it too. I'm like, I can't use lit no more because he tweeted out lit. I can't say it.
We buried it. We buried it.
It's dead.
We can do it.
We can do it. We're going to find another one.
We're going to come up
Facts.
With something about
Facts.
All right. 10 years. What does the Shibuya Empire look like?
Ooh. I did create this movement called the Banji Movement, which is an acronym for Be Authentic, Never Jeopardize Individuality. And so I opened up like a production company through it. And so just with music, I also do like film, screenwriting, and I want to do some things that will be able to put it all together, like the music. I'm a choreographer and a dancer, so I've always had a special love for dance. And then, you know, some film stuff and just like maybe create some films that represent music, you know, or maybe even I definitely want to take the Banji Movement and do some things with. That's why I said I think with Nikki is awesome because that's something I would do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just for young kids coming up because I came up in the inner city. That was a struggle. You know what I'm saying? So I understand that story coming up from the hood, trying to find, you know, a lifeline to get
Absolutely.
Out. You know what I mean? So definitely hope that I could build an empire where I could just keep inspiring, being able to do my art, being able to pass on jewels that I'm getting in this season along to other artists coming up, you know. Try to do something special with it.
Well, you definitely are a special star. I mean, I even when I was reading your story, I give you even more props because, like you were saying, you have to write lyrics unlike everyone else every week.
Yeah.
You're performing, and you're also battling cancer in the middle of all this, which you just recently revealed. And I mean, I give you props just for being able to manage all that.
Thank you.
So, and how is that, you know, that added addition of just being, you know, something that you had to take care of while you were competing on this show?
It definitely, you know what, like, before getting the show, I had to pray on that. That's why I said, I love you say prayer, 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 because I had to pray about whether this would be the right move for me, because I knew that I would still be in the process of chemo. I had a couple rounds prior to the show, and so I already, like, kind of got to gauge the side effects and how it, you know, reacts to your body. And, you know, and I just was like, Ray, is this something that you want to take on? But after I prayed about it, and I felt like the creator said to me, go. You just go ahead, and I will trust me, and just follow, be the vessel.
Yeah.
And so that's just the only thing I did. You know what I mean? I have not planned. I have no plan. Each and every week, I just go through it the best that I can. You know, that one we just watched, that performance we was just watching, I was 4 days straight from chemo. Like, you know what I mean? So I was... So it's just been God really just blessed me. And then I think I would assume, like, all the hard work and just the passion that I put into it up to this point, like, maybe all for this moment, you know what I mean? And so I just, I embrace it and I stay strong. And, you know, the people hitting me up saying, like, you inspire me, like,
say,
to just hit that. You know, some people hit me up, oh, when I got diagnosed with cancer, I ended my career. I didn't want to go out and do nothing else. Mm-hmm. You know, I had these goals. I felt like I couldn't do it. And the reality is, some people will make you think that about yourself once you get a diagnosis like that. So I just want to be that one that just says, nah, you know, impossible is impossible. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's been tough. But I've been pushing through. And then, like, I also, within, you know, the show, found out, too, that my voice, second, third episode, my voice was getting a little messed up. I had to go to the voice doctor.
Wow.
He was telling me that it might have had something to do with my chemo, you know,
affecting
my vocals, which I was like, I never even knew that that could be something.
Yeah.
But I'm finding out a lot of stuff, you know, in this process. But, I'm just grateful every time that I get a chance to just go up there on stage, and I give it my 150%.
Well, so we can tell. Your energy is just, you kill it.
Thank you.
You can see it.
Thank you.
What do you want people to remember about you from the show and just in life?
Yeah, I think that that I never gave up.
Yeah.
That I never give up.
Yeah.
Like, that I push through. And I just give it my all, you know what I mean? And every time I hit that stage, just my authentic self.
Yeah.
I said I don't really think about... you know, I'm not, how do I say, like, I'm not thinking about, oh, how do I do this? You know, how am I going to win this thing?
Yeah.
How am I going to?
Yeah.
I just, like, all right, let's go.
Let's,
you know, like,
it.
I'm going into battle. Yeah.
Right.
And so I want them to just know that I'm a fighter. I never gave up. And I fought for my dreams because I think that more of us should. You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying?
Well, I know we're going to be seeing you for a long time
long
in this game.
Time.
And
thank you.
So everybody can catch you. Where can they catch you on your social media, actually?
Oh, true. So on my IG, it is Banji Raya, at Banji Raya, B-A-N-J-I, Raya. And on my Twitter, Sharaya _J.
All right. And then you can also catch you on The 4.
Yeah.
On Fox.
On Fox.
Check your local listings.
Yes.
Tonight.
On tonight.
Yes, sir.
So,
Courtney,
where
check
can fans
out.
Find you?
I'm all over the social medias at Stuart Starlet.
Yes.
You can find me at Dario Christian on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and on Reels channel Broken Famous. We loved having you
I
just feel like there's just so much energy.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, good.
Like, it got us through, girl.
You got us through.
You brought us the energy.
We're a little bit hungover, some of us. No names.
I know.
No names.
Hilarious.
No, I'll be watching you because I'm feeling
sure.
you. I'm feeling
Thanks,
your
love
vibe.
It, love
so
it.
Come back.
Wait for the
When
album.
You win, come back.
All right, say less. That's in the universe right there.
When you win, come back. And perform for us, too.
And perform. You know how I do.
We got a little stage right here.
Oh, I'll get real crazy right here for y'all, too.
Listen, we'll have it right there. We got some backup bands. Look, we'll backup bands for you.
What?
All right, everybody, check us out next week and have a great weekend. Peace.
Thank you.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Christian, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram @KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.